I'm going to be reading the gospel from Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. So if you want to try and follow along, you'll be a little confused. So because it's such a familiar parable, I thought it would be worth just a little refreshment. At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him in to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation telling stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the ground. The birds ate it. Some fell on the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest. To verse 18, study this story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm, but there is no soil of character. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest expectations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Seed flung in every direction. Some on the path, some among the weeds, some over rocky soil, and some good soil. There seems to be a good deal of waste in this business of seed sowing. In Jesus' day, the farmer didn't have machinery to dig a furrow or to drill the seed into the ground, fertilize and cover it. Hardly. In Jesus' day, many of the farmers just flung the seed and then if he felt like it, he might cultivate it a little bit. Maybe not. Now, I have a thing about waste. I save string, rubber bands, leftovers. I recycle egg cartons and old candles. Make fire starts when we go camping. Good idea. I turn off lights when I leave the room. I hate waste, material, time, energy, money. The story of Jesus tells us there's a good bit of waste in this business of seed sowing. I love efficiency and thrift. I'm just like Judas at this point. I understand perfectly when he protested, "Why this waste?" in John 12. After Mary took a pint of expensive perfume and poured it all over Jesus' feet, I know exactly what Judas was thinking. Obviously, Jesus had a different take on the issue of waste. He defends Mary, saying, "Leave her alone. You will always have the poor among you. You will not always have me." Today's parable teaches that waste seems unavoidable. Our farmer has a great deal against him. Lousy soil, rocks, weeds, hungry birds. And when I think about it, there's a good bit of waste in the local church. There are many wasted words, wasted money, wasted effort, wasted time. And there is much against the gospel today and those longing to spread it. We live in a very selfish world. Violent, greedy, anxious. And the Savior invites us to join him in sowing seeds of the kingdom among these people who don't respond the way we pray that they would. Parents don't often keep their baptismal promises. Newlyweds don't always keep their marriage vows. New members don't always keep their membership promises. Givers don't always follow through on their commitments. So here we are, Sunday morning. Where is everyone? There used to be more. People are here to usher and to serve coffee and to run the sound system, all seeking to be faithful. And we're all disappointed by the absence of so many. Our building seems a little too big. I'll confess to you, after 50 years plus of preparing and preaching sermons, I wonder sometimes how much energy and research effort and time have been wasted. When you think about it, there's much working against your hearing and receiving the word this morning. First of all, I'm a flawed human being. And secondly, you are distracted with many concerns about lunch and planned visits this afternoon and how many organ pipes. There are 28, by the way, you don't know. Little wonder that most sermons fall short of the goal of changing lives. Jesus taught that the different soils represent different responses to the seed, the word. Jesus taught that the condition of the soil is critical to the harvest, and so the condition of the heart and mind of the hearer is critical for spiritual growth. Good seed fell in four places. In other words, they all received the seed. They all heard the word. But simply hearing guarantees nothing. Simply hearing. We've all heard the word for years. How much have we read and understood and memorized and applied to our lives? How much have we shared? All that scripture. All those sermons wasted. But that's not the end of the whole story, is it? Jesus did speak about waste, unproductive soil, and stony hearts, and competition, and hungry birds, but he also spoke about a harvest. Much of the seed was wasted, yes, but wonder of wonders, some seed took root, grew, and reproduced. 30, 60, 100-fold. If you have ears to hear, listen. The parable ends with joy, ultimately. The waste should not surprise us or defeat us. I'll repeat that again. The waste should not surprise us or defeat us. There's much bad soil out there. We speak truth to a world that denies that truth exists. We call people to walk a narrow way when it's easier to wander off. Our sowing is not very efficient, but it is effective when it finds good soil. But while I'm at it, let me confess one more thing. There is something in me that accommodates to the waste. Something that expects waste, even accepts waste. I've been around the church long enough to become very adept at dealing with failure and slow growth Sometimes I have become content with failure. And I tell myself, don't let it bother you, Rich. Don't take this so seriously. Just relax. You're doing a fine job. Just don't. Yet Jesus doesn't let me stay there too long, for he promises, or is it threatens, a harvest. Our work, his word, and the witness of a local church, the Church of Union Congregational Church, is never in vain. It's never in vain. Seeds will take root in our lives and in the lives of our children and grandchildren in the community. There will be a great harvest. Depend upon it. Of course there's waste, but there is grace. A couple of years ago, Pat and I met two women, sisters, who we hadn't seen in over 40 years. After our initial surprise and joy of meeting on the streets of Rockport, one said, "You know, Pastor Rich, something you said in one of your sermons has stuck with me all these years." Smile came to my face. Imagine that. 40 years. See, everyone in the sanctuary this morning has sown some seeds. Seeds of the gospel. A visit. A phone call. A note to someone. That was just what they needed at the moment. I'll never forget when you said, I'll always remember your kind words. You never know how much it meant to me when. You see, as believers, we all scatter seeds all the time. And we're often unaware of where they land because we don't know where the good soil is. We don't know that. In our life together here at church, we can take one of two attitudes. We can stop sowing seeds. All we see are weeds and rocks and hungry birds in our family and in our church and our community and nation. It's all going down the drain, so we might as well close the doors. We can accept the fact that there will be waste, however, abundant and puzzling and discouraging waste. But some seed will fall into fertile ground. Some seed will produce an abundant harvest to the glory of God. So we can continue to sow and to invite and to pray and continue to give. We can't determine where the seed will fall. I can't judge the condition of anyone's heart, and neither can you. But one thing is for sure, nothing will happen if no one sows any seed. The young pastor immigrated from England to the New World in 1635. All predicted a very bright future for him. He was a gifted 30-year-old. He was a brilliant scholar from a wealthy family. He died a year later. What a waste. He left his possessions, 700 pounds, and 200 books, to a small group of colleagues determined to establish a training school for young men seeking to become ministers. And they decided to name the school after the young pastor, John Harvard. His untimely death seemed a tragic waste, but it produced an abundant harvest. So, in your life too and mine, the harvest is sure. Do you have ears to hear? Let's pray. Almighty Father, God of abundance, you have showered your good earth with more than it needs. You promised to care for it. You have visited your good earth, bringing an abundance of love and comfort and hope and strength. But so much of your blessing is wasted on people who are preoccupied or lazy or fearful. Yet you continue pouring your tender care and your powerful truth and your Holy Spirit and your written word and encouraging your church to continue in the work, producing fruit, not enough. But still, the gates of hell will not prevail against your purposes. So strengthen our weak knees and weary spirits, and remind us of the power of your word, and grow your church, not just here in Magnolia, but throughout our nation and world, especially where she is persecuted. And keep us faithful. Open our eyes and hearts to see and grasp those opportunities of sowing, and may this good effect be multiplied to your glory. Hear us through Jesus. Amen.